Tell me what you will, now I'm a showstopper. Tell me what you will, now I'm a showstopper. Everywhere we go, they know we're showstopping. Everywhere we go, they know we're showstopping. Okay, welcome to the TNA podcast here from Mirror Tico. Simon Head standing in for Dan Ferdinand and Rob Lee. Joining me is JB, Jeremy Borash. How are you?
Simon, not that I have any problem with Dan not being here again. I mean, Dan's got so much heat back in our office right now with Jeff Jarrett and Karen. And I mean, it's. I'm glad you're here, Simon. I just wanted to let you know. I'm glad finally a credible journalist is here to interview me.
Well, yeah.
After what I had to put up with Dan last month. And I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, we waited until he was as far away from his country as possible. He's sunning himself in Grenada.
So. Yeah, well, and I've heard from my friends in Grenada, and they're not too happy about him being there. But regardless, I picked this time to come back here to the UK, knowing that he was as far away from this place as he possibly could be. So, Dan, hope you're having a great vacation.
Excellent. Obviously, Impact Wrestling is doing great, great business over here in the UK. Explosion, tell us about your new time slot.
Yeah, Impact had another record rating last week. It might be one of the most watched shows in the history of that network. So last week's rating was huge for Impact Wrestling, and we debuted a couple weeks back Wednesday, 10 o'clock for Explosion on Challenge, and already have seen some great numbers from that. So, you know, it's great seeing the fans respond and going with us to Wednesday nights for Explosion, and we're doing our bit to make sure that show is, I guess, maybe kind of a show that the UK fans can kind of adopt as their own. We're doing a lot of content geared towards the UK fans. If you hear me on commentary, I'm always referring to something that's going on over here. Or,
Jim Bowen.
You know, Taz doesn't know who Jim Bowen is. Taz doesn't know that the legend of Jim Bowen, like I do, have the respect for the elder JB, as we call him now. Of course, I'm the younger, fresher JB. The number one rated JB on the network. I just want that to be clear for Mr. Bowen, if he's listening. No offense against the former Bullseye reruns, but, you know, I can't afford a speedboat to give away.
No, but, you know, people walk away with 16 pounds.
16 pounds in bus fare home.
It takes them a commercial break to count it out.
Sure does. All the way. So, we're having a great I Love Challenge. Just we met with them earlier today, and they're great people to work with, and we're having a lot of fun coming up with some new ideas. And, you know, a partnership like that, it's just so important. And, you know, over the last 8 months now that we've been with Challenge, 7-8 months, they've just been great to work with, and that continued relationship will, I think, just blossom as we continue to go on. So it's been a lot of fun.
And we've had, obviously, the pay-per-views being shown over here in the UK, which is fantastic for the fans as well. Destination X, you were actually on commentary with
Mike tonight. Yeah, I mean, Simon, thank you for telling me that was the best commentary you've ever heard in your life. I mean, I know you watched a lot of wrestling before, but, you know, today was pretty good, you know, and I appreciate those kind of words. So, you know, we had a good time. It was my first time doing live pay-per-view, actually, for TNA. So getting there with Mike and, you know, really did a lot of research. And, you know, I had a lot of good response from it and shared some stories, some insight, and, you know, got a lot of response from talking about, you know, Jerry Lynn is a former roommate of mine.
Right.
And told the story about Jerry Lynn being a... He's a better wrestler than he was roommate. I guess I'll just put it to you that way. But, we had a great time with that, and getting to do play-by-play on pay-per-view was a lot of fun. And yeah, the pay-per-views get to air. That's the best part. They get them free here, whereas we charge, you know, $37 back home for them. So part of the Challenge deal is free pay-per-views after the Wednesday. So this coming next Wednesday night, you're going to get to see Hardcore Justice.
Cool. And one of the things I was quite interested with your commentary, obviously, on Explosion, you're more of a play-by-play man, and Taz is there for sort of colour commentary. Mike Tenay, play-by-play man. How was the dynamic? How did that play out? Because obviously, normally, you've got a very sort of set play-by-play guy and a very set colour man.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Two very different roles, and had to really go about it in a different way. As far as Explosion goes, being the lead guy, Taz is just there to kind of fill in the gaps and make some observations, and he's very good at that. So luckily I've been able to work with Taz, and getting to work with guys, you know, getting 10 years ago, got to work with Jerry Lawler over here in Australia, and did a tour with him him working as my color guy. So gotten to work with some really, really talented people, and it was just a different role. But, you know, been around a little bit now, so getting to see you and getting to work with some great people, you get to kind of see how to do it, and it was a really cool experience. I do prefer play-by-play to color, but just being on live next to Mike Tenay was a thrill for me.
And are you going to be involved in Hardcore Justice? How's your involvement with that going to pan?
I guess I'll find out when I show up on Sunday. You know, it's gonna
oh, really?
Be, yeah, yeah. A lot of times I don't get too much of an Iggy ahead of time, but yeah, whatever. I think the pay-per-views now, I'll probably be going back to doing backstage interviews on the pay-per-views. So.
And give us a taste of what we can expect at Hardcore Justice.
Great pay-per-view lineup. Sting and Kurt Angle, two big, obviously huge names, big marquee match. Another one I'm really looking forward to is the three-way with Brian Kendrick, Alex Shelley, and Austin Aries, and it's going to be, you know, I think top to bottom, a really strong show on paper, some great matches, and, you know, the cool thing about seeing Sting and the evolution of his character and what this means for this Sunday is it's going to shape the look of Bound for Glory, I think. I think whoever wins on Sunday is going to be champion going into Bound for Glory. So a lot of things at stake this Sunday, and it's going to be a really solid show.
And you mentioned Bound for Glory. Obviously, the Bound for Glory series on Impact Wrestling at the moment. Crimson away and clear at the top of the table at the moment. Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Zero points.
What's going on?
What's going on with
Samoa
Joe?
You tell me what's going on. I don't know. You know, Joe is just one of my favorite guys to watch, period, end of story. Just so exciting to watch. You know, we've been doing these Bound for Glory series matches on the live events, and what's been very cool about them is that now you're getting to see some of the live event footage during Impact. So, you know, I'm playing a dual role. I'm ring announcing the show and running around with a camera sometimes at these shows. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think Samoa Joe might be the comeback kid. I think don't count him out. You know, I think it might be an interesting story to see what happens if he suddenly just kind of shifts it into high gear and ends up taking it. We'll see.
It should be very interesting. How many more weeks of that?
I think it goes right up till the pay-per-view. I'm not sure exactly. I'm going to guess it's going to culminate in the finals maybe right before, maybe at No Surrender, or no, that would be after. Maybe a couple weeks before Bound for Glory, I think you probably see the culmination of that, and we'll find out who's going to get the shot. But it's been interesting. You know, it hasn't been done before, and I think when you take a look at a point series, you know, it's been done in every other sport. So to kind of look at a long-term storyline to watch versus something that you see week to week has been fun, and I think, you know, I think every promotion needs something long-term for fans to kind of sink their teeth into, and that's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I know when we've seen it tends to be more tournament format that we've seen in wrestling in the past, where it's very cutthroat, you know, win, lose, and people progressing through brackets.
Yeah.
This is obviously a much longer format. How tricky is that with, you know, the sheer number of people? You've got almost a dozen people there on the table, and you've got obviously the guys up at the top, they're getting all the push, and you've got the guys at the bottom not doing so well each week. You know, how easy is it managing all those different personalities? And you know, you've got people like Samoa Joe, such an experienced guy, he's been with TNA forever. And you know, when I first saw TNA, he was the man in TNA. So how has that been managing the characters within the series itself?
Well, thankfully, it's not one of my job responsibilities to actually have to map that all out, but I can tell you what's really interesting about it is, you know, the lineup of guys that are in there. You have an opportunity for guys like Bobby Roode, guys that you probably wouldn't think of as being in the main event world title match at Bound for Glory. So, you know, you look at the guys, there's a lot of guys in there that probably are getting an opportunity they wouldn't, and at the same time there's guys like AJ Styles who've been there before, RVD, former world champion, Samoa Joe, former world champion, that have a, you know, every right to be in that main event. So I'm really interested to see how it's going to all pan out. You know, Crimson's in the lead right now, and you know, he's a guy that's, you know, still a rookie in many ways, you know, still new to the scene. So where it ends up going, I guess your guess is as good as mine at this point.
And what have you got an update on Matt Morgan? Obviously, he's injured himself. He's likely to be out of this for quite a while.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for him. And he was on the show Tuesday night and talked about how disappointed he was that his injury is going to keep him out of action, it looks like. And, you know, he's got some insight. So I think next week, I think we're going to see him join the color commentary team, or the team as a color commentary during the Bound for Glory matches. But, you know, there's a guy that's just has it all, just a giant of a man and a real cool personality, nice guy, deserves it, and hopefully he'll get recovered quickly and back in action.
I was about to say, with someone that size sitting behind the announce table, the rest of you guys are going to have to be on booster seats to see
Yeah, I mean,
shot.
You to see him in person, you just to stand next to the guy like that is just what a incredible physical human being he is.
And obviously talking from people like Samoa Joe, very experienced, tell us a bit about Jesse Goddard, who apparently is new in TNA.
Oh yeah, a big reality star in the US, great physique, great look. I have not had a chance to see him wrestle, although I know he's had some dark matches. Usually when those are going on, I'm prepping backstage for whatever I'm doing, so I've just heard a load about him that's fantastic, and hopefully we'll see him premiere pretty soon.
And something else new that you've been involved with at the Impact Zone, All Wheels Wrestling. Seen a bit of that on Twitter. Obviously we don't get too much of that over here in terms of information. It's in its very sort of early stages, isn't it? Tell us a bit about that.
We shot a pilot for a show, All Wheels Wrestling, and myself and Don West were the play-by-play announce team on that, and we're going to see where that goes. It's a different concept, different audience. It's, you know, this day and age, after, you know, been around a while and a lot of fans have been watching wrestling a lot of years, you don't really see too many concepts come along that are genuinely different. And watching the pilot and seeing the finished piece of work, I'm really excited about it. It's a very cool show. And hopefully it'll find a home here eventually in the UK. But we'll see. It's still very early. And you can follow, I believe the Twitter name is at AWWCommish, and find all the latest news on All Wheels Wrestling. But just being a part of something new and different is, you know, creatively has been a very rewarding experience. So we'll see how that pans out.
Excellent. Now, you may already know this. One of the things I tend to do here at the Mirror, I cover mixed martial arts. I saw a very interesting, because you do sometimes get crossovers, saw an interesting interview with Tara. She was talking to a well-known MMA journalist in America called Ariel Helwani from AOL.
I know Ariel.
She said that it was something she was looking at as a career potentially, but injuries and all the rest of it. And it sounded as if she still trains jiu-jitsu and things like that. That sort of thing can probably help keep yourself flexible and all the rest of it for wrestling. Are there many MMA fans within the TNA locker room?
I think there's some fans. You know, I don't think they're... I think there's a bigger separation. You know, I don't think you can compare the two as much as it is compared. Mm. You know, I would say I'm at best a very casual MMA fan.
Yeah.
I know the top names. I would go out of my way to watch Brock Lesnar fight, but that's maybe George St. Pierre. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against the sport. It's just, you know, we have different interests. Whereas I think you've got I know like Eric Young and a couple guys are really adamant and watch all the shows, but the big thing I think is the misconception about it, and Brock Lesnar would be probably the first to tell you that MMA is a much different sport in the sense that you train for months for one fight, and Brock would tell you that the wrestling schedule is much tougher.
Yeah.
And you know, I think anybody that crosses over and tries professional wrestling, whether it be a football player or an MMA fighter, and vice versa, you know, I think it's just a genuinely different beast, a different animal entirely. Yeah. And not a lot of people can do both. Brock, obviously, a great success story that's been able to do both. But he was, you know, if it wasn't going to be football, it was going to be something. He was going to succeed in something else.
He's an exceptional athlete, isn't he?
Exceptional athlete. Yeah. And, you know, not a lot of... I've seen MMA fighters try and make it in pro wrestling and fail miserably.
Yeah.
And so I think it just... There's a mutual respect there, but the comparison in the two different complete animals in terms of training, in terms of preparation. You know, Kurt Angle talked about it as well for a long time, and you know, physically it just probably was too, not dangerous necessarily, maybe too risky of an endeavor for him to try, yet professional wrestling is in many ways just as risky, if not riskier, for him, but something he's more trained in professionally.
Cool. And obviously when you're in the locker room, you know, you're dealing with lots of different characters, personalities. They've all got their interests outside of the ring. Is it true Bubba Dudley is a big football fan?
Oh, it's huge, yeah. Huge. Giant.
Because I noticed you referenced it on the spin cycle.
Yeah.
Saying we've got the worst football in the world, which I think he's probably kidding us a little bit there.
He'll say whatever he has to say to get under your skin, and he's really good at that. And yeah, I got a lot of response about that. He's a fan. I don't know what team he supports. Yeah, he probably seemed like a Man U fan.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
But kind of predictable.
Kind of predictable,
at the same time.
Bandwagon jumper.
Yeah.
you know, I'm personally, Leicester is where I'm a big Leicester fan, you know.
The Foxes.
Yeah. I like the Leicester Tigers too, but that's, you know, a whole different, that's rugby.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Now, obviously you're the king of the spin cycle, JV. This isn't quite Spin Cycle-esque, but I've got three quick-fire questions for you.
Let's do it.
Before we finish up. TNA sending their big guns over to the UK for the World Tour in January. As a percentage, what chance we see an Impact Wrestling / TNA pay-per-view in the UK in the next 2 to 3 years? As a percentage.
A percentage, I would say, oh boy, you're gonna, don't hold me to that. I'd say 100.
100%.
I would say 100%. Yeah.
You know what's cool? First.
Yeah, here it is. And I think one thing that you need to remember too, we're finally getting out on the road now once a month for Impact in the US. So I've always said it's a constant evolution, and I've always said, you know, for the fans that come out and see our live events, first and foremost, I think sometimes the cameras are a hindrance, you know, for live events. I think for fans coming out and seeing the live event experience, you got two different types of programs. Our Impacts are not a lot like our live events, and that's not a bad thing. You're still seeing the same stars, but the fans that come out to see the show live and see it in person, you know, the wrestlers that are there and the performance that's done is based for the fans versus for the cameras.
Yeah.
So I would tell anybody that, you know, and I understand that. I always wanted to go see a live TV show. I always wanted to go see a live pay-per-view. But as somebody that has been a part of both from day one, I can tell you our live event experience for a fan is probably more fulfilling than a TV show or a pay-per-view, because you don't have the commercial breaks, you don't have the, you know, downtime, you don't have the there's a whole different beast. And so I can just say, as somebody that's been a part of every live event this company's had, the fans that come out and see the live events, the wrestlers, the show that's put on is for the people that are sitting in those seats, not for the people that are sitting behind on their couches in the television. So it's kind of a different deal, but I would say it's going to happen. It's inevitable, and it'll be great. It'll be fantastic, you know, but I don't think the emphasis of our live event experience to me is just as fulfilling as any TV or pay-per-view experience you could have seeing it live.
Cool. Obviously, you're renowned for your work on the microphone. Which wrestler on the TNA roster do you think's got the best mic work in the ring?
Cuts the best promos. Ooh, wow. So many. You know, I favorite right now, just favorite to that I'm most entertained by is probably Magnus. He's had a chance to do color commentary on some of the matches, and tore into Taz, which was hysterical. You know, he's really, really talented on the mic, and if you hang out with him, just a smart-ass, witty sense of humor he has that, you know, you can tell. He's a huge star in my book. I mean, he's still very young. I think he's 24, 25 years old, so he's got a lot of time to develop, so I think he's the one to watch. Sting on the mic right now backstage is just one of those guys. I know, just when I stop everything and turn up the volume a little bit to hear what he's saying and really pay attention to what's going on is a lot of fun. So Sting really has evolved his character now into something. To really reinvent himself at this stage in his career has been pretty remarkable to see.
Yeah. And a final question. If you could choose your dream Spin Cycle panel, four panelists, your dream panel.
Yes.
Who?
Well, you know, based on their prior performances, I could tell you the all-time best guests are Alex Shelley. Brian Kendrick is always just, because you don't know if you're talking to a guy that's on this planet currently at the time. Always very good. You know, it's not necessarily the biggest stars that are the best guests on there, but Bully Ray's always entertaining. Guys that really bring it and know that, you know, when you appear on a show like that, you've got to have a good answer for everything, and you can't just give a generic answer necessarily. You got to make it entertaining. So, dream panel, I would throw Bully Ray on there. Scott Steiner was a lot of fun the other night.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know what he's going to say. And, you know, guys like Scott Steiner and guys like Bully Ray, you know, you're getting their genuine persona. That's what they're like off camera, and that's what they're like on camera. So when you can capture that and bring that to the fans, I think it translates, and I think fans, when they see Scott Steiner and know that, you know, that's really how he is, and he's a loose cannon, and you really can't stop him from doing anything he wants to do. That's the kind of guest that makes for a good show. You know, I've also had a lot of really good guests at once and have had bad shows. It's kind of the chemistry of the group that really equals a good show. I've had shows with guests I didn't think were going to be any good, but collectively, you know, if they're all friends or they're all hanging out or they're all comfortable with each other. I will tell you this much. Here's an exclusive for you. The last Spin Cycle, Angelina Love, thankfully she was there to sit in, but our guest for the last Spin Cycle was our guest panel was going to be Bully Ray, was going to be Scott Steiner, Mickey James, and our fourth guest, who was on set and until the last second decided not to be on it, was four-year-old Cody Angle. And who he was, we had him all prepped, had some great stuff. He was ready to answer some questions. It was going to be hysterical. And then the last second, he just got, I think he got a little
stage fright.
Stage fright, which happens to me too from time to time. But so maybe, you know, I think the people want it. We're going to see Cody Angle on the Spin Cycle.
Just bring him up through the ranks.
Bring him up through the ranks. Yeah. He'll be comfortable with it, I think. You know, he can already beat half the roster. The kid's a tank, 4 years old. You know, he's pretty amazing. Dated half the Knockouts too. That's amazing.
Excellent. Right, we'll finish Impact Wrestling Challenge TV Tuesdays at 10 p.m. TNA Explosion featuring the man here, JB. Challenge TV Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. We'll finish off the UK tour. How much are you looking forward to that?
Can't wait. I can't wait for January, counting the months down actually, and soon it'll be weeks. But you know, that's the one tour a year that everybody on the roster wants to be on. Everybody from the company wants to go on. Everybody wants to be a part of. You know, I did a documentary on our Manchester show this last year, and I didn't do it for the Manchester fans. I did it to show everybody else in the world what it's like to be in Manchester, what it's like to be in the UK, and the fan base that is so responsive, is so just delivers such a fever in terms of noise and respect. You know, everything you could want in an audience. And you know, getting to do this and getting to travel around the world, you know, I would take, 10,000 fans in Wembley over 50,000 fans in the Tokyo Dome any day of the year.
Wow.
Just because of the society. It's different cultures. You know, in Japan, they're sitting on their hands and they clap and they respect, and there's a lot of, it's a different crowd. You know, whereas Jeff Jarrett just went down to Mexico and we were looking at footage of that, and I've been down there before, and I refed a match in Puerto Rico one time and had to run for my life to get out of the arena because literally people were throwing bottles at me, and it was a very, very dangerous situation. Whereas in the UK, it's just fans come out, they have a good time. You know, whether it's, I always say this, whether it's wrestling or darts or whatever, you know, the fans here just respond differently, and it's the perfect audience for a performer to be in front of. So that's why the guys always like coming here, and that's why, you know, every year when we do this tour, it's always the one tour year that everybody's asking already, am I on the UK tour? Can I go? And Sting stepped right up to the plate and said, I need to be on this year. I want to go over. I want to hear what this is about. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to the night when Sting comes out through the curtain and hearing the response he gets. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Punishing schedule, three big nights, three different arenas, one country, a lot of mileage. Obviously, you're flying over from the US. How do you guys do it?
Well, actually, you know, the thing is, we're going to have more than three here, you know, or not here necessarily, but I think we're going to Germany and we're going to go a couple other places. So, you know, it's a lot of times, really, it's adrenaline. It's all adrenaline. Just now it's, you know, I've put on more miles this year so far than I've ever traveled in my entire life, probably 2 to 1, you know. It's been a lot of road miles. Delta Airlines actually is just going to give me my own plane pretty soon.
That's nice.
Status I've reached nice. in their airline rewards program. So, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, we've gotten places before on other sides of the earth with hectic travel schedules, and, you know, it really, at the end of the day, it's still beat stick and ditches, so nobody's going to complain about it. But, you know, going from city to city and the travel schedule, and especially the guys, I have the easiest gig because I don't have to wrestle. But guys that go out there and really the level of work that they put in and the physicality of it all really does take its toll, but it's the response from the fans that really make all the difference. And, you know, once that show starts and the adrenaline starts pumping, you know, it's you don't feel that jet lag. You don't feel tired. You just want to get out there and satisfy those fans that came out to see you.
Cool. Thanks very much for talking to us, JB.
Simon, I can tell you are so much more better than Dan at this. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. He's not here, is he? You sure?
Yeah, he's come all the way from Granada. Yeah, he's here this afternoon.
There he is. Dan, what are you doing here? No, in all seriousness, Dan, come on. Stay in Granada. Actually, I hear there's some great opportunities there for you to work.
All his photos have got no people in, including him. I think they're just cut out of the catalogue.
Yeah.
And he's in a caravan in the north of England somewhere.
Somewhere, doing God knows what.
Yeah. But thanks very much for coming to see us, JB, and no doubt we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you, Simon. Always a pleasure. Tell me what you're rolling, I'm a showstopper.